Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, and welcome back to Thistle Scottish Rugby Podcast, another breakfast show coming at you. I am David, and to my left, there's Matt. How are you, bud?
Good, mate. We're a bit tired, but a nice wee Easter break, feeling a bit refreshed, so keen to get going.
Ready to get excited about Edinburgh, Glasgow, and there's Alan. You're looking very, very excited this morning. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, I don't feel excited. But nice Easter break. Sort of getting back into the swing of things. Good to have the boys back together.
Yeah, it is. It's nice to all be back together. We've been a little bit patchy over the last few weeks.
We have, haven't we? It's felt inconsistent.
But we're back for the big one.
I've also realised that I'm away on a holiday in a week and a half. Sort of like really in like the midst of like playoff territory.
Oh, good. Well, we'll deal with that when we'll have to draft in a substitute. So if anyone wants to come on the pod and replace Alan, please let us know. You have to be extremely negative and nasally.
Yeah.
That's the only bad two.
Bad timekeeping as well. That's the worst.
Can't name anything.
Yeah, and have a problem with names.
Yeah. So if you fit that criteria, please send us an email, thistlerugby@gmail.com, or get onto Twitter at thistlerugbypod, or you can slide into DMs on Insta, thistle_rugby_pod. That's how you can get in touch with us.
I hope you just get like a bunch of emails with loads of grammatical errors, or just voice messages with like real nasally voices coming through.
I would actually love it if people send us like audio auditions to auditions. Replace Alan. What a great competition. I'm loving that. Cool. So we're going to rattle through some of the news that's been going on in the last 10 days that we might have missed. And then we've had a great chat with Big Ben Toulis ahead of the 1872 Cup. And then we're going to get into all the various permutations of can Edinburgh get to the playoffs, can they get to the Champions Cup, and what they need to do. So that is all coming up later. So why don't we start with the continuing news that Aaron Cruden, All Black World Cup winning fly half, maybe on his way to Scotstoun. Doesn't seem to be going away. I was trying to get some stuff out of Glasgow last night. Everyone extremely tight-lipped over it. I suppose the injury to Damien McKenzie in Super Rugby and the chance that Cruden could go back down to the Chiefs has sort of put a bit of the cat amongst the pigeons, hasn't it?
Chiefs have poured pretty cold water over that, though. Yeah. Which doesn't really mean anything, but they've basically ultimately been like, no, we're not getting Cruden back.
Yeah.
Because they'd have to effectively like buy him out of his Montpellier contract.
Yeah.
And then,
which would nay be cheap.
Yeah, exactly. And then sort of expect him to just play a few games and then maybe go into the New Zealand squad. It's just not going to happen, I don't think.
I also think they've got Josh Ione and there's also Jordy Barrett in the squad who probably can.
Yeah.
If really necessary. And then you've just got Richie Mwanga and Bowden Barrett starting at 10. So
yes.
I don't actually think there's as much of a necessity. And if Cruden was like ripping up Europe, then maybe.
Yeah.
But it's not even like Cruden's like the best 10 in Europe at the moment.
Yeah, I know. And I was like slightly encouraged by the news because I kind of think I'm not 100% sold on this signing. So I thought it'd be a good thing maybe if,
yeah,
you know, the option just wasn't on the table for Glasgow. But it's something that doesn't go away. So it seems as if sign him.
There's definitely some truth to the fact that they're speaking to him and trying to get him along. So
do you think the presence numbers, of, do you think the presence of Rennie, you know, means that he will be willing to take a bit of a cut price deal?
Yeah, I think absolutely. They've obviously got a very strong relationship.
Mm.
Yeah. Whether it means he'll be prepared to do shifts for Malcolm Group, I don't know. But that's the other condition of a Glasgow Warriors contract. Yeah,
that's true.
Will he work Sundays?
Yeah.
That's difficult to say. But we will keep an eye on the Aaron Cruden story, whether he's going to be joining Scotstoun.
Because Glasgow announced how many new signings was going to be, didn't they?
Six.
And I don't know how many have already come out. Or how many is like
that's the thing.
Players. Well, Lee Jones was announced yesterday. This is like what they did last year. They were like,
it can't just be contracts.
10 signings, and it was all just, here's an academy player.
Yeah.
And they might include Kyle Steyn in that as well, as the ultimate fudge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, you know, everyone is still waiting for that big,
yeah,
like marquee forward signing. Like Lude Diego.
We were talking about Lude Diego joining Glasgow like 3 weeks ago.
How good would that be? I know.
Lude's gone, but there's others out
there. Steyman.
Steyman.
That would be good.
Is he still on the stocks?
It's coming. I can feel it coming.
I really hope so.
Well, something that could affect it is some big, juicy private equity money from CVC Partners, who've just bought 30% in the English Premiership. News, I think it was the tail end of last week that they were looking at taking a third of Pro 14 for around about $120 million, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
With them coming in and looking to, I think the main thing that they were trying to do was trying to sell the TV rights for the Premiership and the Pro 14 as one package and create a grand final between the best team in Pro 14 and the best team in the Premiership. What do you make of it, lads?
I mean, I have to admit that I think probably every employee at CVC is smarter than me. So I imagine they have a good idea of why they're doing this, but I genuinely cannot grasp the rationale behind it, or where are you going to deliver those sort of private equity profits from?
Yeah.
Because I don't think the crossover between people who watch the Pro 14 and the Premiership is that big.
I think the overlap's
small, and I think that, you know, just from the Twitter reaction, very small sample, people would be pissed off at having to pay for both, for example.
Yeah.
But I think people who really like the Pro 14 think that the Premiership is an inferior league and vice versa, actually.
Yeah.
And I get it. Like, why, if you're watching Leinster play every weekend, why would you want to watch, you know, Worcester against Newcastle on a Friday night? More to the point, if you were watching, like, Saracens against Exeter, why would you want to watch the Dragons against Zebre?
But I was also thinking about this sort of grand crossover final, and I honestly just don't think people would care.
Especially, I don't think the clubs would care.
European final.
That's the whole point of the European final.
Like, oh, yeah.
You know, I think there'd be more interest. I think it would take a while in a Heineken Cup, Champions Cup winner against Super 15 winner.
Yes.
Yes, definitely.
I kind of feel like there's been more positive vibes coming out of Wales, where clearly there is a feeling that there's a much more desperate need for cash.
Yeah.
And they kind of see the CVC investment is almost like a bit of a shining light at the end of
a dark tunnel.
But I always think kind of where the growth is going to come from in Pro 14 rugby, because, you know, sports partnerships are like kind of pretty toppy.
Yeah.
And it's not like we're giving the Pro 14 to Premier Sports for free, or like have given it to a lower bid. It's not like there's massive bids out there from Sky or BT. So kind of think the most growth from the Pro 14 is generally just building the game up and growing attendance, but it's not really that takes a long time.
Yeah.
So I just struggle to see where the rationale is, but, you know, I guess if CVC are willing to give some cash, as long as there's no
all of the unions are going to be like, thank you very much, exactly, we will take that cash.
It depends how much control CVC actually has. Well, if it's a minority investment, then
fine.
Fine. but I don't
30% stake, so it would be.
Yeah, I don't know how much direct control they have over the commercial side of the game. But look, if CVC want to fly us to, I don't know, LA, Abu Dhabi, maybe like, you know, remember like when they did like Muhammad Ali and Zaire? Just like go out to Congo for like the Pro 14 final.
Exactly. Ready and
willing.
Well,
you could take Zebra versus the Cheetahs or something like that and do it in like a jungle or something. Jungle
such
setting.
Shit chat.
I'm loving it.
To be fair, in Spain, the Spanish Super Cup, they're like, we're going to have the final in like the King Abdullah Stadium in Saudi Arabia for 6 years. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
And it was like, okay.
Exactly. Next year's Pro 14 final is going to be in Qatar in like July.
How did we get that?
Amazing. Okay, a couple of bits of contract news. Rui Jackson's signed a year extension at Glasgow, and Lee Jones has added another couple of years on to his stay at Scotstoun. A couple of decent signings there. Good squad players, lots of experience.
The renaissance continues.
Yeah. Just keeps getting one-year extension deals.
He is extremely consistent for Glasgow, though.
No, he is. And, you know, especially with Hogg going, you know, I think locking that down for a year is even more important.
Yeah.
Luke, they allow him to have his gin side hustle as well. You know, everyone's winning out of that.
Absolutely.
And yeah, Lee Jones, again, had a few issues with injuries this year, but generally very consistent.
I think particularly sort of last year and the year before, he was one of the first choice wingers in that team.
Yeah.
And like had a pretty good finishing record.
Yeah, that back three of Jones, Seymour and Hogg.
Yeah, exactly.
Very, very established.
So you're just kind of hoping that he gets back to fitness.
Yeah.
So I think he can still offer a lot. Jackson just like plays really well in those sort of Pro 14 matches when the big guns are away. I mean, I suppose the slight concern is now you don't have Hogg, that Jackson's going to play a lot more matches.
The thing is, Hogg hasn't really played that many matches.
Well, that's true, but I'm more thinking like the big matches, like against Saracens and whatnot, true. Where you need those kind of players, and I think Jackson, unfortunately, just doesn't
Glasgow
quite cut it at that level.
Glasgow might have done better if Hogg wasn't playing against Saracens, to be fair. He's punting the ball out on the field the whole time.
Sure.
I think we'd have done better if the whole back three hadn't been playing.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder if Seymour might get more game time at 15 next year. I guess it depends on what signings they bring in, or whether they get included and see Adam Hastings as 15.
That'd be really bad for Scotland, though.
There's part of me that thinks Adam Hastings could almost be a better 15 than a 10.
Yeah. He was good when he played there off the bench for Scotland.
Yeah, against Wales.
Yeah. And he's almost like
his heritage.
Bit, you know, Finn's radical, but Hastings is almost like a bit too radical to play 10. Like, Finn can at least, like, you know,
Occasionally rein it in.
Hastings just don't give a fuck. He's too much of a young millennial.
That is very true. Speaking of young millennials, Jamie Hodgson signed a new partnership deal with Watsonians and Edinburgh Rugby. He's had actually probably a little bit more game time than you might have expected this year for Edinburgh front half of the season when there was a lot of injuries. And he's looked decent.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think he's always been a sort of elite development player. And then probably Cockerell came along and was a bit of a fresh set of eyes and liked what he saw. And has brought him in for a few of those matches. And he's done pretty well. I think it's interesting to see that partnership deal and just the read across it has for the Super Six, and how many guys, you know, because I think they said before there won't be any pros playing, but if you've got a partnership contract, then that sort of gets around it. So
yeah, exactly.
Which I don't have a problem with, to be honest. I think that's good for raising the level of the competition.
That'll probably become a sort of new type of like the Stage 3 Academy contract that is currently in place.
Yeah, I think it makes sense. So it'd be interesting as the Super 6 franchises start to announce their squads if you see a few more of those sort of deals. Do you think Watsons are still paying part of his salary as part of that partnership? Probably.
No idea.
Probably.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah.
I just don't know whether he'd spend... Yeah. I can't remember how much the SOU are giving Watsons. I imagine it's like the SOU give money to Watsons and then they'll probably end up spending it on an SOU player.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I know.
Moving done well.
Yeah, I like that. It comes out clean at the other side. cool. Other things going on. Big weekend, not just in pro rugby. It is Silver Saturday, the cup finals weekend at Murray Field. There are four big games. Well, actually, there are six big games. The Women's Plate, the Women's Bowl, they're going on the back pitches. That's Stewartry RFC against Glasgow in the play, and Livingston RFC.
Against Glasgow?
Glasgow University, sorry.
All right.
Against Glasgow Warriors. And the Women's Bowl is Livingston against Greenock Wanderers. And then in the big house, kicking off at 11 a.m, the men's bowl final, Dundee University Medics against Aberdeenshire. 1:15, the men's shield, Berwick against Greenock Wanderers. Big day for Greenock. 3:30, men's cup, Ayr versus Heriots. And then at 5:45, and this is going to be on TV on BBC Alba as well, the Sarah Beeney Cup final, which is the women's cup final, Hillhead Jordan Hill against Watsonians. So massive day of club rugby at Murrayfield. Get yourself down there. And other stuff going on. Matt, do you want to give us a bit of an update on the King of the Sevens, how the Sevens tournament is going on?
Yeah, so obviously Melrose was the big sort of televised one the other week, and London Scottish came up and won that. I think it was a bit of a shame that it wasn't their full side because they had a championship game that day. But yeah, they did have, you know, pro players amongst their ranks, I think, or at least kind of semi-pro. Likes a Fraser. I think Fraser Lyle actually might not be at London Scottish anymore. Maybe he's, I don't know. but guys like Fraser Lyle, and even, you know, they drafted in Josh Henderson and Scott Riddle.
Yeah.
Who are obviously sort of looking for game time leading up to more of the rounds of the Sevens. So they were kind of a pro team, but, you know, they were still good value for their win. And Aki's doing very well, and running them close. So the other tournaments, Aki's won the Gala Sevens the week before that, and then Boroughmuir won Hoyt Sevens last weekend, and Watsonians won the Berwick Sevens. It's absolutely brutal. We have to play the Hoyt Sevens on a Saturday and the Berwick Sevens on a Sunday, and it's like, by and large, the same teams.
I hate playing Sevens in general.
After one day of Sevens. Like, and anyway.
So what are the standings?
So the standings are, Aki's are top with 30 points. Watsonians third with 28, Boroughmuir and Melrose joint third with 22 points. So it looks as if it'll probably be between, you know, maybe those four. I think that Watsonians will come good and win it again. They seem to have a really good squad, and they can put out a second. They can put out a second seven that goes and plays in the non-Kings events like Earlston, yeah, and they still go and win it. So they obviously take it pretty seriously, and fair play to them.
Enjoyed the unis being in the Melrose Sevens.
Yeah, it was good. Good.
We also had a few friends playing for St. Yeah. Andrews against the British Army.
Oh,
I was watching it. It was absolutely brutal.
Yeah, it was a bit of a bloodbath in the end. I think, you know, all the university teams did well, but I actually think, you know, just that, like, experience and size was the main difference. Like, even Aki's made pretty light work of Durham, I think, who. And Durham won the Bucks Sevens this year.
Yeah.
You know, so they're no slouches.
Yeah.
But no, it's nice to see those guys invited as a bit of variety to things, and they definitely enjoy the day out.
Absolutely. And so that is the rundown of all the news that has been going on in Scottish rugby in the last couple of weeks. So now let's turn our attention to the big one, 1872 version 3, The Revenge at Scotstoun. It's been expanded to 10,000 seats. It is looking absolutely great. Matt, you caught up with Big Ben Toulis last night to have a chat with him. So let's listen to that now.
So delighted to be joined on the line by Ben Toulis. Ben, how are you?
Not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
Yeah, all good here. Thanks so much for taking the time to speak with us. So how was your Easter break? Were you in training, or did Cockers give you some time off?
We managed to get a few days off. So we just had we got the weekend off. We were in the back end of last week as well, just preparing for the game on Saturday.
And it was am I right in saying it was your sort of end of season bash on Saturday?
What's that, sorry?
It was your end-of-season party on Saturday, is that right?
Friday night.
Friday, yeah. How was that? Was it sort of, were you keeping a bit of a lid on it, or was it a good chance to celebrate what's been a pretty successful season overall?
No, it was a good night, just, you know, celebrate or just appreciate the achievements of some of the boys and how well they've played. And just for the boys leaving, I think it was just a good chance to get together and say thanks and well done to the boys that have played well. But, yeah, the season's gone pretty well, but we've also been pretty disappointed with the way it's gone at the same time with where we're sitting at the table at the moment. So, a bit of both. It was good, but, it was a good night.
Awesome. And obviously the season is still alive with that 1872 Cup match coming up this weekend. What's been the talk from within the camp leading up to the fixture?
Like you said, it's really do or die for the rest of the competition, really. So we've done well in the Champions Cup, and luckily we fell short there. But this game we'll know after this game where we sit for next season regarding potentially a playoff spot if other results go our way, if we put in the performance on the weekend. But at the moment we just need to focus on what we do and not worry about other teams. We just need to try and get the win and hopefully the results go our way.
I've just got a question on Twitter saying that if Edinburgh do make the Champions Cup, would you be prepared to cut your hair?
probably not. It's taken me a long time to grow and I've gotten pretty used to it, so probably not, but I don't know, I'll be open to it. Depends if once we get there, I'll think about it, but
okay, good stage, yeah. Good to know. Obviously you guys have done pretty well against Glasgow in recent matches. Do you think you sort of got the measure of that side? Have you figured out a way of stopping them from playing their brand of rugby?
I think so. I think obviously this used to be a 2-for-2, and for the game of rugby they like to play, and they like to play a lot of high tempo, fast rugby. And we sort of try to play that, but at the right times. But we, all of our strategies to slow down their ball and frustrate them and try to take away their game from them, and it's what's happened in the last two games. So we know sort of how to prevent them from playing the way they want to play, and they know that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see this week and how they're going to nullify what we need to do to nullify their attack and their speed of ball. But we're 2-for-2, and we've won there already at Scotstoun, and we've won there a couple other times before. So we've got to take confidence from that and basically just go for it and see what happens.
And obviously you guys are playing last, I think, out of all the other fixtures, so you'll know what you need by that point. Do you think that impacts the way you guys will approach the match, or is it just sort of focusing on the 80 minutes without all those other distractions?
We'll know what we need to do, or either way, we could be in a position where we need to get a win with a bonus point, or even just get the win to, either get the playoff spot or a European qualifying spot. But either way, even if the results don't go our way, I think we're just going to try and go out there. And if we know that either way we can't make it or we're in the worst position, we're still going to go out there with the performance we want. Still want to finish on a high and just take some confidence from the game and confidence at the end of the season and try and build that on to next season if we don't have any more games left.
For sure. Now, your path to professional rugby in Scotland has been a slightly, unusual one. For those who aren't familiar, can you maybe outline the journey that you've been on?
So I came here in 2013, sort of towards the start of the season. But I was playing volleyball for a while in Australia until I was about 19, 20. And I quit to play rugby again. Playing for a bit, playing just sort of club rugby over there, and then Scott Johnson got a hold of me and my brother, and gave us an opportunity to come over here, and we managed to come over here. A lot of my family, my mum's Scottish, and through my grandparents are Scottish as well, and I've got strong heritage over here, so yeah, took the opportunity, thought it'd be a good one, and basically the rest is history. Sort of went from there, and it's turned out pretty well so far.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's going to be my next question. Did you ever expect, you know, upon arriving in Scotland that you'd, you know, get over 100 Edinburgh caps and become, you know, an international regular?
No, not at all. I signed a 2-year deal. I didn't really know what to, you know, can't really look past it, those 2 years. And to be honest, I thought I might just do the 2 years and maybe move on to something else. But, you know, it worked out really well. And Scotland rugby have been really good to me. And, you know, so, yeah, never did I think when I was started out, when I first got here, I'd get 100 caps. Because it was pretty difficult to get the floor at the time. Yeah, and I never thought about playing for Scotland at the time. I just wanted to play club rugby and sort of see where it took me. If someone told me I would be in the position I am now when I first got here, and would be, yeah, really happy. So, yeah, it's worked out pretty well. I'm enjoying my rugby here.
Good stuff. And am I right in saying that you've now beaten Australia twice in a Scottish shirt?
Yeah.
And, you know, did you get any, was that a bit of a strange feeling, and or did you get any stick from any sort of old friends down under?
No, I guess it was weird from a point of view that never thought that potentially would happen, but, you know, I was especially excited to get the opportunity to start against Australia and Sydney when we beat them there, and, I think that's, to this day, I'm not sure if anything will beat that, to be honest. Obviously, the England game was quite special, but growing up in Australia, it was a weird in a way, but at the same time, when I was playing for Scotland, I knew I was happy with the decision I made to play for Scotland. Most of my heritage is Scottish, and it's where I'm from, basically, with my family. So, that was really special, and to do it again at Murrayfield and to beat him quite convincingly, it was the icing on the cake, really. So 2 from 2, couldn't really ask for a better story, really.
Did any of the Aussie boys on the pitch give you any chat, any digs?
A few boys. I used to play with some of the boys back there at club rugby, you know, Sam McGrevy and Sean McMahon. So I played both of them, at Murrayfield, and when they were over here, and I don't think they played the game down in Sydney, but yeah, got a bit of chat from them, but it was all fun and games, and caught up with them after the game, which was nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. I hope there wasn't too much stick. One of the questions we always ask our guests is who's been your worst roommate in your time at Scottish Rugby? We've heard that Blair Kinghorn's a pretty weird character, for instance.
he's a weird bloke, but I think he's weird in a good way. He's good comedy, and I've never actually roomed with Blair, I don't think, but to be honest, I probably find him quite funny. He's a funny guy, and he's weird in the right amount, which makes it quite good. But worst roommate, to be honest, I probably have to go with Guy Gilchrist. He's a really good boy, get on with him really well, but I think most people would agree with me. He's snoring, and some of the noises he makes is just ridiculous. I don't know how he does it. And but other than that, he's good. But sometimes it's hard to get a good night's sleep with him.
Well, hopefully we'll get Grant on at some point to hear his side of the story as well.
Yeah, well, I think he might get his own room at the moment, because I think boys refuse to room with him.
It's that bad, Christ.
he's good. He's a good boy to have. He's always for a chat, and from that point of view, but from a sleeping point of view and noise point of view, it's quite an experience.
Yeah, I can imagine. Well, Ben, thanks so much for that. Really appreciate your time, and good luck for Saturday, and hopefully Edinburgh are in those playoffs come Saturday night, and you've got a few more games to play this season.
Perfect. Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
Cheers. So there we have it. Grant Gilchrist, worst roommate. Snores a lot, apparently.
Does he?
Yeah.
I haven't listened to it yet, so that was brand new information to me. Brand new information. But Grant, what are you up to?
But I was saying there, hopefully we can get Grant on to you know, give, great, yeah. give his side of the story as well.
No, that's fair.
But it's an interesting path that Ben Tullis has obviously taken to Scottish rugby. Like, played volleyball beforehand and then was sort of went back to rugby.
His hair is
found
by
the man himself, Scott Johnson.
His hair is very volleyball.
I don't know what a volleyball haircut looks like, but I'm glad that you do.
Ben Tullis is long. Is it long? I'm not saying it was a good joke.
And, you know, he obviously knew a few of the Aussie guys.
Yeah.
It was quite good to hear that they were giving him a bit of stick in some of the matches. But neat. He's come out on top twice now.
Yeah, I know. I like that as well. That,
yeah.
You know, even in like the cauldron of like an international rugby game, lads just like giving a bit of stick and like the rock.
Yeah,
I'd love to hear that kind of thing.
But yeah, Scott Johnson, just another...
Exactly, just notch a visionary.
His belt.
Just... A visionary, you know, he took a punt and there it is, 101 caps for Edinburgh and, Scotland, and 15 yeah. for Scotland later.
Since we're talking about Scott Johnson, did you see the comments he made yesterday on, you know, our players will be picked exclusively on form?
Yeah.
It's just like, remember when you literally just put John Barkley out to the sort of shadows for like 3 years?
And Richie Gray for
like
a bit,
him?
And yeah. Kelly Brown.
Exactly. Like,
there was that article on the BBC and there was a good quote that he took that actually I knew it down. He's like, everyone wants to be liked, but I'm just not in the job of being liked. I'm not a politician. And you know
what? I think he probably did want to be liked. Then everyone's like, we really hate you. And he was like, well, I'm not here to be liked. So
I know. Yeah, it's a win-win, that argument.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no way of proving it.
There is part of me that, as well, you know, the SOU isn't a corporate business. There is slightly kind of like a public body nature to it. And there probably has been a bit of a comms like issue with Scott Johnson.
Yes.
Just no one's been able to A, communicate what he does, and B, he's just like he's just kind of gone silent for the last like few years.
Yeah,
I think it was because he rubbed so many people out the wrong way when he was.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow wherever you are. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Head coach, when he went back office, everyone was like, let's just make him super back office. Like,
yeah.
He gets people so angry. Even if we say, look, he's doing all these interesting things, everyone will be like, Scott Johnson is a prick.
I know. And it's actually the comments under the article. It's like so, like, just extremes. Like, some people are like,
what, polarizing?
Look at like what he's done for Scottish rugby. And other people are like, look, he is a dickhead.
So that's our sort of annual... sort of a weekly, sorry, 2 minutes of Scott Johnson.
Yeah,
it's always popping up.
We've got to try and get him on the pod before he goes to Australia, though.
God, I don't know if he'll ever do that. We can try. I'll put in a bit.
I don't think he'll ever heard of us.
See if we can get him. Okay, 1872. Glasgow already home semi secured after beating Leinster.
Yes.
No, I don't think they are. I think they need to win to secure. No.
Well, they've definitely got a semi-final, sorry.
Yes, yeah. I think to get a home one, it's not they could lose and then other results go the right way and they'd still get a home semi.
I mean, if Munster lose, they get a home semi.
Yeah, and if Munster are playing...
They have to win. Munster are playing Connacht.
Okay.
At Scotstoun, you'd probably make Glasgow the favourites for this one, wouldn't you? Particularly off the back of that amazing performance at Leinster.
Oh, absolutely. I think especially with also I think Ryan Wilson, Kebble and Gibbons,
yeah, they're all back,
are all due to be coming back.
I also think there's just there must be a mentality within that Glasgow side that they must be really pissed off that they keep losing this fixture to Edinburgh.
Yes,
it's a sellout as well, so 10,000 people
Saturday night
and they're on a good run of form, having just, you know, beaten Ulster and then Leinster you know, in two good performances, yeah, you'd have to make them favourites. But I reckon you've said that in quite a few of the 1872 Cups over the last 10 matches. I think we've probably said
it in everyone.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, Edinburgh have already won at Glasgow this year.
Yeah.
I suppose the difficulty is that Edinburgh, and I don't know all the mathematics, do they have much to play for here? It will kind of be defined on the day, depending on whether Benetton can beat Zebra or what Ulster do.
If Scarlets beat what Scarlets do. You know, ultimately, they could be going in knowing that if they don't win, they're not in the Champions Cup next year.
Yeah.
Forget about playoffs for the Pro 14. Like, actually, they need to win to just even qualify for the Champions Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a high... And, you know, Scarlets will probably beat the Dragons at the Millennium Stadium. And
you would have thought so.
Will probably beat Zebra. So yeah. Ultimately, they're probably going to go in with that mentality. And Glasgow are going to go in knowing that to avoid... an away semi-final at Leinster, they need to win.
Yeah. And I suppose the really big carrot for Glasgow is also the finals in Glasgow.
Yes, exactly.
Celtic Park's absolutely massive opportunity for them. I think it would be an amazing thing for Scottish rugby and for like probably the city of Glasgow, a football town, to have a Glasgow team in a big rugby final in Glasgow. That would be a really massive moment.
Yeah, especially with Hogg leaving, who... Yeah. 9 years, been a pretty talismanic figure club as well.
So what I do you think is going to happen?
There's one other aspect to this as well, is for a lot of Edinburgh players, they could be like, this is our final game before World Cup squad selection.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's always the case with these. They are sort of Scotland trial matches. You know, yeah. Tooney's there, and you know he's probably, he may be putting the messages in that this is what he's looking at.
Yeah, but I guess, I know obviously Glasgow and Edinburgh both have the Champions Cup, but this is probably the only other example so far this season, which is kind of like knockout rugby a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And again, last game of the season, front of mind, last game potentially before the World Cup squad selected by Townsend for the Edinburgh players. Like, I think it just does, even on top of everything else that this game means, it just adds so much more, just because I appreciate that in December, it's kind of a little bit of like a Scotland squad kind of competition.
Yeah.
So why do you think that Edinburgh brought forward their end of season dinner then? That to me seems like a resignation that the season's over. Or am I reading too much into it?
I think you're reading too much into that.
I think they had 2 weeks off after the dinner. So it was what?
No, they didn't.
A week off. So they had a week off in the middle of...
Yeah, a week off in the middle. So 2 days, 2 weeks between matches. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, sure.
So like 14
sure.
days. One night on the smash for their end of season dinner, whatever it is. I get what you're trying to say, but I don't know.
And ultimately, it's Easter holidays, so it's like easier for people to go, stuff like that. I think...
And there are loads of lads in the Rayburn on Saturday getting quite pinty.
I think...
Just saying.
There was quite a lot of lads in the Rayburn on Saturday.
Did you see the weather?
It was lovely. I was on the...
Yeah, but that means you go out for a nice walk. You sit in the, you know, you sit in the garden with a coffee or an electrolyte, filled drink.
Pints on the Christine Sun Terrace overlooking Rayburn Place.
I like that tweet. It was good.
No, I think can't really. I think especially with Cockerill in charge, I just don't think you.
No,
can
I think yeah, you're right.
It's quite interesting that the actual winning of the 1872 Cup is probably like fourth or fifth in line of sort of interesting things that are happening this weekend. Yes. And in like the players' minds, I imagine it's just like, oh, here's this tiny wee tankard.
Yeah. Speaking of trophies, did you see the new Edinburgh trophy they came up with? The Collie Lug?
I did see it. Darcy Graham won it.
Yeah, and you know what it is?
No.
It's so cauliflower lug.
Cauliflower ear. Yeah.
It was they made a cast of Alan Jacobson's ear, and that's the trophy.
What?
Yeah, no, I'm not joking.
That's unbelievable.
I'm not joking. I don't know how I don't know how this bypassed us.
How have I missed this for 2 weeks?
Yeah, seriously.
Whoever came up with that is is in the same Hall of Fame as the guy who came up with the Tennant's Man of the Match award.
Maybe it's the same guy, just some absolute star employee at the SIU.
They're just like, we need
They had it back in 2013, but then it must have only lasted like a year. And then they brought it back.
They brought it back.
So Roddy Grant won it in...
Was it 2013?
Yeah, it was. It's always been Alan Jacobson's ear. But I think they made a new one for...
A new cast.
There was a photo of him getting his like ear cast, as it were.
I think maybe we come back to this at a point where we have further information.
Yeah, I'll do a bit of digging.
I need all of the information. That's ridiculous.
Yes, Darcy Graham won it.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I also saw that Cicino won an award. It didn't say which one it was.
No, it was like the Iron Man Award for like best trainer. It's like, well,
I'm glad he trains well.
I was going to think anyway. He's a very weird, like, obviously he's like a squad player, but just like doesn't really feel like he needs to be in the Edinburgh squad. Like, there's got to be like an academy guy somewhere to fill that like third or fourth.
I always knew he'd be a rubbish signing. So.
did you know?
So what do we think the key matchups are going to be?
It was Juan Pablo Cicino who won.
Yeah, I know. That's what I said.
Oh, I thought you meant Cirillo or whatever his name is, the Italian prop. That's why I was chatting.
Oh, Cecchirelli.
He's re-signed.
I know, yeah.
I think you generally have name dyslexia. Anyway, so going back to 1872, key matchups. I think Johnny Gray against, you know, those two Edinburgh second rows of probably Gilchrist and Toulis is going to be really interesting, considering like Johnny Gray has been unbelievable in the last 2 weeks.
I think it is looking at that for your starting second row partnership. I mean, those three all being equal are all going to go to Japan, but I think you're talking about your starting two.
Yeah.
And particularly with, they will all have seen Richie Gray's form and coming back to fitness in the European Cup and stuff like that, knowing that...
Oh, did you see the yellow card he gave away?
Yes, it was really stupid.
So stupid.
But
I actually didn't think he played very well, but... Well, anyway. You know.
Let me make my point before pissing all over it. But I agree that that's going to be massive, that contest between the three of them, because it doesn't look that Johnny Gray has taken being dropped from Scotland particularly well. He's now just sort of like tackling anything and getting super aggressive, which is really good, actually. I think the front rows, obviously it's not like big Scotland matchups, but in terms of the context of the game, you've got the Scotland front row for Edinburgh, and then, as you say, you're going to have Kebble, Brown, Darcy Ray for Glasgow.
Xander Ferguson,
sorry. It's a really...
Batty coming on to a bit of form as well, obviously.
Pretty big Scotland matchups. I think Xander Ferguson thinks he's probably got a chance of starting at the World Cup.
Yeah.
You think he's been quietly doing a pretty good job?
No, I think you're right. And considering he's played like full matches since coming back from injury, it's not as if he's been, you know, dropped into a Prem team or something.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
So, and I still think, I know Fraser Brown and McAnally, ultimately they're going to do a 50-30, like no matter probably what happens.
Yeah. But
Fraser Brown probably still wants to get one up on McAnally.
So yeah, I think you're right.
I think all across that pack, you know, especially with Wilson coming back, Matt Ferguson probably wants to be on that plane. To Japan.
It's
pretty, like if Edinburgh picked that, you know, first choice back row of Barkley, Watson, Mata against like Ferguson, Gibbons and Wilson, it's like pretty tasty matchup.
It is. I mean, Edinburgh pack looked pretty tired and budget against Ulster.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. And I think your point about Mata still stays. He just looks tired.
Yeah. No, I agree. And it'd be interesting with Gibbons Wilson coming back. Will they impact by a long layoff, or will them actually coming back fresh? Because I think they're both going to get just jettisoned back into the squad for this big
game. Yeah, they'll go straight in. They've been on the media round suggesting that they're coming back in.
Yeah, exactly.
Ryan Wilson's getting lots of column inches.
There you go.
Which means he'll definitely be playing.
Yeah.
He was also like, Ryan Wilson, you want to bring him in? He'll wind up the Edinburgh boys quite a lot.
Mm.
Like I imagine he's the sort of person that will revel in the Edinburgh-Glasgow rivalry probably more than a lot of people.
Well, I mean, he did it this season, and was it this year? Yeah, slapped Grant Gilchrist in the head in the ruck. What are you doing, you idiot? Penalised him. But it's quite funny.
And then that back row conversation, not playing in this match, but it looks like Blade Thompson is going to return for the Scarlets after a 6-month layout for concussions. Another one.
I wonder if Scotland need him now.
I just don't know how good he is. It's been so long since everyone got really excited about him.
Yeah, I think he still sort of ultimately falls into kind of like the John Hardy category where it's like, wait, he plays super rugby.
Oh yeah,
get him in the squad.
But then Hardy was pretty good when he played. To be fair,
Hardy was.
But I think they're very different. I think with like the emergence of, you know, Bradbury and Richie, for example, this season, it's like, do you really need someone like Thompson?
Probably ultimately getting that initial like 49 man.
You give him a run out against France.
Tbilisi.
Yeah, exactly.
Tbilisi away.
Yeah,
I think interesting. It's it's the Battle of Hoek as well at the weekend. Likely to be, because Graham's probably going to play fullback.
Yes.
Against Hogg.
Who are you picking?
Probably Hogg. I mean, probably it's, still it's the king Hogg. Against it's the king against the young prince, you know.
It's time to usurp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think that'd be an interesting one. And I still think Edinburgh lack that ability to get enough ball into the hands Graham and Van Merwe in particular, who in the last game just hasn't really had a sniff.
Yeah, like, no,
didn't touch the ball against Munster.
No
really.
Touches, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, come on. I mean, and I think maybe a bit of that is due to the fact that Cockerill in those supposedly bigger games has persisted in picking Matt Scott and Bennett.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, 10, 12, 13 just hasn't quite worked.
He's turned his back. He turned his back on the centre partnership that's worked for more.
Exactly. Yeah. That's delivered performances in big matches.
Yeah.
The thing I don't really understand about Matt Scott is, you know, when he first came on the scene, he was really a distributing 12.
Yeah.
Rather than a sort of ball carrying 12. And I think kind of those early days of Edinburgh was probably when he had his best form.
Well, he started off as a 10, really.
Yeah. But he seems to, like, he really does just truck it up so much.
Yeah.
Mate, he's 110 kilograms now. He's Jesus absolutely Christ. Massive.
Oh, God, he's 1 kg heavier than me. No.
But yeah, I agree that I think that the balance isn't quite there.
Yeah.
And I think on paper, you'd probably be like, yeah, Yakko, Scott, and Bennett would actually work.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, right, you've got a ball playing 10 and 12, you've got a 13 who's got an outside break and is a runner.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, I'm still not, I think Yakko's not the long-term answer at 10. It's just frustrating. He's not really
has glimpses.
Nailed that down. Yeah.
There's all, especially kind of around winter time where he was coming off the bench and he was really hitting the line hard. I really thought he was going to be that long-term sort of 10. Just the issue is there's no one in even the younger age groups who looks like they're going to step up.
Particularly on the Edinburgh side of the academy and everything.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a worry.
Bennett probably not kind of been hitting form.
Not hitting the form he's had, no.
No, unfortunately not.
Again, someone who probably was starting 13 at the 2015 World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will be wanting to get on that plane to Japan.
I don't think he will, though. It's too much competition.
It's
like Hugh Jones probably got 13 sewn up.
Emergence of Sam Johnson, who can play both as well.
Yeah.
Hugh Jones just does what he wants. Saw he was at a little spa day yesterday. He only turns up for internationals.
such a rugby superstar.
Oh, like, he doesn't care.
He does not care at all.
Signs a 2-year deal, goes to Barbados, hits spa day, and then he's in the World Cup squad.
Yeah. Like, do you want to play this big match? It's like, yeah. Is it on TV? Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll give it a punt.
Yeah.
I think 9. Do you think Henry Purgos has got a chance of getting in that squad to Japan?
I thought, you know, in that part of the season where Edinburgh were doing really well in Europe and doing okay in the league, that he was playing really well and he was like a nice counterbalance 9 option.
Yeah.
But in the last few games, he's been pretty terrible.
Yeah.
I think at the moment, it's surely going to be Laidlaw, Price, and probably George Horn as your 3 that go to Japan.
Was interesting. I remember back at the Autumn Internationals, I was definitely saying that I think Price was the third choice scrum
half.
He's
really picked up.
But he is massively picked up. Yeah. Just keep shedding kilos.
Been nominated for Glasgow Player of the Year.
Yeah.
But so is George Horn.
Yeah.
It kind of sums it up, I suppose.
But he's looking really, really sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, his break against Leinster. Like,
it was amazing. Yeah.
And he was good against... I don't think he had the best Six Nations, but I think by the end he was looking pretty sharp.
I still think Price has struggled to really stand up in a game that matters.
Yeah.
For Glasgow.
I agree with that.
In a game where control is more important than...
Yes.
Or you're just not able to make those breaks.
I suppose that said, I mean, Leinster wasn't like completely harem scarem stuff.
No.
Mm.
I got really confused at the end of the Leinster game. And you know how Leinster like camped on the line with like 2 minutes to go? And I thought Glasgow was 6 points ahead when they were actually 8. So I was like losing my shit at the television. meant to be raining Saturday night in Glasgow.
Oh, good.
It's going to be another 1872 classic.
Yeah, I know. Just because 1872 games are so good that they need a challenge to continue that trend.
Well, that'll favour Edinburgh then.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing.
Slow and stodgy.
Exactly. Although, I guess with the pitch, it kind of makes it slightly less.
It nullifies it. And also, that Glasgow pack, you would say, it should be able to match Edinburgh with those big players coming back.
Yeah. I wonder, the only position be interesting is who partners Johnny Gray in the second row.
If it's pissing it down in rain, I reckon they'll go Rob Harley.
Harley.
Or Swinson.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think Scott Cummings has been doing pretty well.
He's been good. He's been good at it.
I agree. Athlete.
Yeah.
Really good athlete. I'm just thinking, what does it mean for Edinburgh if they lose this weekend? No Champions Cup, no Pro 14 playoffs. And all we've talked about all year is how good Edinburgh have been.
Yeah.
And they're going to come out the other side with absolutely bugger all. Whereas Glasgow could get to Pro 14 final, have topped their group by absolutely tons.
Yeah.
Are they sort of like, yeah, what's gone wrong?
The narrative.
Yeah, I know.
It's not very convenient.
Sort of pick the bones through it. I don't really understand what sort of went wrong. They've lost really sort of critical games at moments where you thought, yeah, that's an easy 5 or 4 points for Edinburgh to go and get on a Friday night, and they've just sort of really switched off.
And the thing is, it's not like I initially thought it would be because they had a slightly harder group.
Yeah.
But actually, if they were in the other group, they would be fifth or sixth behind. They've got less points than the Blues, Ospreys and Connacht.
Really?
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
I guess it is.
It's just those matches, like losing to the Kings away in just like an awful match.
Glasgow did that, to be fair.
Well, yeah, they did, but they managed to recover. Like losing to Zebre away, giving away a 17-0 lead against Cardiff. Like,
yeah.
Those are all games where they, you know, that's another 15 points they probably should have got.
There was the away game at Dragons.
They lose that?
Yeah. Early in the season.
Yeah,
there was
like losing to Dragons, like, and then just, you know, when the pressure was really on, that Ulster performance was so disappointing, and that was Ulster side that Glasgow had torn apart, really.
Yeah,
it's a funny one because you'd still, but maybe it just shows how far Edinburgh have come.
Yeah,
like, if that had been Cockerell's first season, you'd be like, that's unbelievable.
That's true.
You know, European quarterfinals.
I guess they just still don't have that depth that Glasgow do, that they know that they've got players that will go out on a Friday night during the Six Nations and put away Ospreys B.
Yeah.
Like, quite comfortably. And Dave Rennie knows that, and he sort of, I don't know if he works the squad in a better way than Cockerell rotating, or if he's just got more strength and depth. I think it's probably the latter. Because I think when you scratch the surface, including injuries of the Edinburgh squad, and you haven't picked third and fourth.
And I do think there is an element, there is an advantage granted by having Scotstoun as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, that you can get a decent crowd there on Friday night. The players feel confident and comfortable there. Whereas, you know, Edinburgh or Murrayfield or Myerside on a Friday, it's like, I think it just takes away the edge from the whole contest. Yeah. And it's just the kind of environment where players will be off their game, that 5% that means you lose to, you know, a Zebre, whoever. Not that they lost at home to those guys, but...
Well, we've gone early on sort of predicting the downfall of Edinburgh. Sorry about that, to bring in that negativity. Finish off with little predictions, lads. Alan, come on then. Saturday night at Scotstoun, what's going to happen?
I think I've probably said this for every Edinburgh Glasgow game we've ever previewed, but I do think Glasgow is going to have a bit too much for Edinburgh. So I'm going to go with a non-bonus point win for Glasgow, win by 10.
Interesting. Matt?
Yeah, part of me wants to sort of predict the same thing, but I think that Cockerell maybe slightly has the measure of Rennie in these matches.
Mm.
And Edinburgh have obviously beaten Glasgow a lot recently. They know how to play against them. If it's raining as well, it depends what they have to play for at that point as well.
Hugely.
But I think Edinburgh will sneak it by 5 points.
Interesting. I'm going to go with the side of Alan. I think Glasgow...
It's always the right way to go.
Their last two performances against Ulster and Leinster, it feels to me that they've learnt the lessons of previous seasons and they're actually beginning to slightly peak at the right time as it comes to the the right moments. Saracens game aside, of course, but they do seem to be on a bit of an upward curve. And I think the Edinburgh lads, you know, out in the smash on Saturday, you know, what are you doing? Would be my point there. So
there you go.
Glasgow to win.
There you go. Cool.
Right, Alan, you got a wee quick quiz.
I do. I have an Edinburgh and Glasgow themed quiz.
Let's finish it up with the quiz.
So Ross Ford is the only player to have signed, have at some point been a Borders Glasgow and Edinburgh player. Never actually played for Warriors.
Okay.
How long was Ross Ford a Glasgow Warriors player in days?
In days?
I have absolutely no idea. This is news to me. In days. So presumably maybe some sort of cover, maybe.
I'm going to 65.
Dave?
45 days.
Ross Ford was a Glasgow player for 73 days.
73 days.
He signed August the 6th, 2007. And then on, what would it be? 18th of October, Glasgow were like, Ross Ford has decided to join Edinburgh after playing no caps. And actually, it's on like the old Glasgow Warriors website, and all these Warriors ultras from like the old days were just like, can't believe he's...
Oh, really? Definitely wasn't his decision.
No, I know.
That's you, like, go down the road, son.
Yeah.
So there is, let me just work this out. There is 10 players in the current Edinburgh and Glasgow squads who have played games for both teams. I'm going to give you a slight clue off the bat. One of the 10 isn't Fraser Brown. Fraser Brown has been an Edinburgh player, but he didn't play an Edinburgh game. I'm also going to say, off the bat, these are definitely wrong. I've ultimately missed someone or added someone who shouldn't be there, and I will get called out in it either later today or tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
these things happen then.
I've noted six Edinburgh players and four Glasgow players. So why don't we start with the Edinburgh players? Dave, we'll just go one for one.
Henry Purgos.
I didn't have no time.
You didn't have Purgos.
He's the most recent example.
He was my first person.
He was the second person on my list. Alan, that is a new. You're plumbing new depths of the quiz.
Right, we've got seven Edinburgh players. Henry Purgos is one.
Jesus.
Hanny, who you got?
Mark Bennett.
Mark Bennett is correct. I do have him.
John Barkley.
John Barkley correct. We've got four more players.
In the Edinburgh squad.
In the Edinburgh squad currently.
I'm struggling already.
So am I.
It's quite hard, actually. Fenton?
Fenton is correct.
Hunter Hill?
Hunter Hill is one. He came off the bench against Zebra in 2016 for
so
Glasgow
random.
Away.
I did not know that. At all.
It was a punt.
And then, so we're looking for one
came
more back.
For Rob McAlpine.
Oh, really? That's so right. So
we're looking for a back.
Looking for one second row and one back.
One second row and one back.
Jimmy Johnson played for Glasgow?
Not that I know of.
I think he might have, but...
Sean Kennedy?
Oh, nice.
Sean Kennedy yes. is correct. He went on loan to Glasgow. The one other one that you missed was Fraser McKenzie.
Really?
Who played, apparently, one match on loan with the Glasgow Warriors in the 14-15 season and is therefore celebrated as one of the 52 players to have won the Pro 12 League.
What? Really?
So he's a Pro 12 winner?
Fraser McKenzie is a Pro
12
winner.
That's mad. That's mad.
Well, that's very good.
And then we've got four Glasgow players, three forwards, one back.
So I had Lee Jones.
Lee Jones is correct.
Lee Jones is the only one I had written down, so feeling good about that.
I had Alex Allen in the pack.
Alex Allen is correct.
Well, as a forward?
Yes, two forwards left.
Why should I definitely get it? George Turner.
George Turner
yes.
is correct.
Sorry, that's stupid.
And then one more. Scottish international.
Position?
Front row.
I don't know.
I don't know. Who is it?
Big Kevin Bryce.
Kevin Bryce. Of course.
Wow, I feel like the Scottish international comment was more of a hindrance than
Yeah, exactly.
Completely threw me off the scent.
Obviously, there was another, I think like Thomas Gordon was like part of the Edinburgh setup.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You get like a lot of people like that who are sort of linked to the academy. But yeah, so 11 players have played for both teams. And
Fraser
McKenzie won the Pro 12.
I'm going to give this an hour until Kevin Miller is on with his spreadsheets telling us all of the people that have played for both teams. Like, so we've found 11. If you can find more.
11 in the current squads.
Let us know.
In the current squads who have played a game for both teams.
Yeah.
Very good.
There you go.
Wow.
I mean, ultimately, when you put do the research on your phone at 11:45 the night before a 6:30 a.m. wake up.
You get out what you put in.
Exactly.
Enjoyed it, though. Well, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next week to find out what happened in the 1872 Cup. As I say, keep in touch with us on Twitter at Thistle Rugby Pod, in the mailbag, thethistlerugby@gmail.com, and over on Instagram, thistle_rugby_pod. Thank you very much. Cheers.
See ya.
See ya.